We welcome you to Eagle 360. Dave Spadaro, Bo Wolf on this Friday at the NovaCare Complex. And, Bo, we're getting into this crunch time, which will be part of our show a little bit later on. A little work that in.
Yeah, good tease.
Anything else you got? Anything else you can work into the show that's clever?
Well, everybody should watch and read The Wolf's Den. How about that?
That's great. A good self-promotion.
Absolutely.
And why not?
Don't miss the interview with Harold Carmichael. That's my favorite.
All right. Very well. Let's get you caught up with everything that's happened this week. It's our week in review. The Eagles coming off that loss to the Green Bay Packers. Bounce back time for Philadelphia.
Again, the final score, the Green Bay Packers 53, the Eagles 20. Time to put this one behind them and get ready for Tennessee.
Yeah, let's do that.
All that stuff is fixable, and I'm really confident in the system. I'm confident in Chip. We'll get back out on the field and correct it.
Told him we got to stick together. Win or lose, rain or shine, we're a team. We'll stick together as a group and come back to work on Tuesday.
The Eagles looking to bounce back from the loss to the Green Bay Packers, looking for their 10th straight victory in a row at Lincoln Financial Field in the regular season.
We're excited and looking forward to the opportunity to get better. And we still have all the confidence in the world. We still know we're a great team.
There should be no difference on Monday. Every man that comes in here should be the same man on a Monday, win or lose, and a loss. We lost, and we have to get better.
They're really a good team. I still think they're going to win the division. They're better than every team they play the rest of the year.
You know what? This Eagles team is strong, that's for sure.
We look at every game we play as important, so we want to win every single game we play, and we kept the same mindset whether we're home or away.
I think the loss to Green Bay actually helps the Eagles focus on Tennessee.
The Titans are continuing to improve in the Ken Whisenhunt system.
Tennessee's quarterback, Zach Mettenberger.
I like that he's a tough kid. He's not going to move very much. He's going to be in the pocket. You know where to find him.
He's got an NFL arm. You know, I think that kind of jumps out on the tape when you watch him make all the throws that he makes.
So he's an impressive rookie.
Titans run defense ranks 31st. So you would figure this is a game where you really get Shady going.
When you led the league last year in rushing, you know, things aren't going to be as easy. But it's our job just to go out there and continue to fight.
Quarterback's two best friends are defense and a good running game.
I think every game everybody knows in this league, everybody can beat anybody on any given day.
The Eagles know that they're a good football team.
They got to rise to the challenge, and if they stumble, then so be it.
It's about the next challenge and the next opportunity to go out there, and you get a bad taste in your mouth. So the only way you can get that bad taste out of your mouth is go out and play again, and that's what we do.
Well, missing from that week in review was what happened Friday morning. Dave Spadaro on NFL Network.
It was very much fun. NFL AM with Jordan Babineau talking about the enhancements made at the stadium, talking about the Eagles and the Titans, and prior to that, had a chance to sit down with Babs, an NFL veteran, played some significant roles. We'll talk about him with him and about this Eagles-Titan matchup when we return to Eagles 360.
SEPTA is the way to get to games.
I love taking the subway down there because I feel like I'm, you know, with all fans.
Everybody's got their gear on.
People are chanting and cheering on the train before you even get to the station.
There's a sense of camaraderie because Philly loves their sports teams.
It's really fun. It's Philadelphia.
My name is Rhonda. I've worked for Acme Markets for 30 years. Here at Acme, community means everything to us. Prices have never been better.
Going up and down the aisles, I do get a lot of compliments when the lower prices.
Your store looks great. I love the people. I love the shop here.
I just think people are definitely seeing a change and seeing that it's getting better with Acme. And it's not just the prices. It's the customers that are coming in here talking it up. Come on in. Check us out.
We're back.
When I was a little kid, I thought riding SEPTA was just the coolest thing. I thought, I'm on this big piece of metal blazing down these tracks. There's people ringing bells above me. There's honking going on. There's trees flying by. It's fantastic.
We welcome you into the studio. Dave Spadaro joined by Jordan Babineau, the NFL Network, former NFL player in Seattle, in Tennessee, and... You may not know it, and you may not know it. a hero to Eagles fans. And I know you know why.
Yeah, I heard
I know you know why.
The Eagles fans have a love from the play in which the Cowboys failed
on
and Tony Romo
goal.
Botched snap.
2006 wild card game, Tony Romo botches the snap and Jordan makes the tackle. Thank you for that. See, everything about the Cowboys, Eagles fans hate. So when you are here in the city of Philadelphia, make sure
Wait,
you...
Don't you guys get to break bread together this year? Don't you guys are eating turkey? Nobody
will be breaking bread on Thanksgiving.
All right.
What do you think about this Eagles team?
You know what? This Eagles team is strong, that's for sure. I mean, Chip Kelly has this organization and has the offense, you know, really has the league threatened by their attack. And I think now is what you're starting to see is how well the coaching will be implemented now that Nick Foles is out, Mark Sanchez is in. He comes in and throws some back-to-back 300-yard games. So you definitely see that it goes beyond just the production of a surprising Nick Foles who just came out of the, you know, came out of the woods, but the coaching. So you start to peel back those layers and you see that there's an element of coaching involved and teaching has taken shape into the locker room and the players are really grasping the concepts that Coach Chip Kelly is teaching.
You played against Mark Sanchez when he was with the Jets. Any thoughts on what he was then? Maybe what you've seen of him now?
Well, one thing about the NFL, I mean, Sanchez, he's definitely won, you know. Now, how he won, you know, with that great defense and Rex Ryan and some of the things that they were able to do in New York, you know, is irrelevant to the fact that he has had success playing the quarterback position. He's had his team in AFC championship games, so he knows how to accept that challenge and accept that role, and he knows how to win in those pressure situations. The thing about Sanchez is that as a former player, you love to see him get that second opportunity because the game is a revolving door and you'll get a second chance. So maybe, you know, I'm hoping to see it and everyone's hoping to see how well he takes the second chance and do well with it and get this this Eagles team into the playoffs fighting against the Cowboys
against
the division.
Yeah, it's going to come down to that. You played in the Super Bowl. You know what it's like to win down the stretch. What changes in the game in the regular season as we get late November into December?
Well, at this point, you want to be playing your best ball. You know, that's for sure. You know, you start to see it's a race to 10. You know, really, it's kind of how we look at it, how we talk about it in a locker room. It's kind of like a race to 10, you know, to claim your spot into the playoffs. And then from there, you start positioning for home field advantage. But late in the season, you definitely want to be playing your best ball. Of course, now the weather starts to become a factor. So a real home field advantage to some of the cold weather teams who have to face some of the indoor teams or some of the West Coast teams that have to come play in this time and condition.
Now, Jordan has this gig for NFL Network with NFL AM where he goes stadium to stadium, Lincoln Financial Field of choice this weekend, showcasing the fan experience at Lincoln Financial Field. Have you been in the building yet?
Well, not from this side of it, but...
Good.
I have played.
Right.
Have
what did you think of it? What do you think of playing in Philly?
Well, playing here in Philly, I mean, of course, you always hear about, you know, the different stories. And to me, the one that stands out the most is the fact that is there really a jailhouse at the bottom of the stadium?
Isn't there one at every stadium?
To tell you what, we won't see you until Monday because the judge is off on Sunday. He's probably out watching again.
Eagles fans are the best in the business. But we're going to enjoy Lincoln Financial Field with a little food experience, video boards. It is absolutely beautiful over there.
I'm looking forward to it.
All right, man. Thanks for coming by.
Yeah, baby.
Jordan Babineau, thanks for joining us here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Score a free Dunkin' Donuts medium hot or iced coffee the day after an Eagles win with the Dunkin' mobile app.
Eagles win?
You win!
Go Eagles!
America runs on Dunkin'.
Dunkin' Donuts is helping more area youth get in the game through the Touchdowns for Kids program. For every Philadelphia Eagles touchdown, Dunkin' Donuts will donate $250 to Good Sports, bringing new equipment and resources to youth sports organizations in need throughout the greater Philadelphia region.
Section 512, row 6, seats 7 through 10. Those are our seats.
At this one time we can't be there, please treat them right.
To get there early, stay late, and yell a whole lot.
Dress warm, gloves, hats, warm boots.
Eric sits in the middle. Uncle Paul sits on the aisle.
And if you want to sit in my seat, make sure you get your ticket from the only place a fan can trust.
buy and sell 100% verified authentic tickets with other true fans. Only on NFL Ticket Exchange. Tickets from one fan to another.
Imagine a pill with a camera inside that takes pictures of your digestive tract painlessly. At Jefferson, we're among the first in the area to use it, and we're working on the next generation now. But that's really just a snapshot of all the innovative things our team is doing, which may be why Jefferson has earned a national reputation in digestive disorders, not to mention the trust of more patients than just about any hospital in the tri-state area.
Discover the Jefferson difference. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW for an appointment.
We welcome you back. Dave and Bo here. We're going to talk a little bit about some trades. You know, we've seen on this roster the impact of some trades, right? I mean, late in the preseason.
Best player on the team.
Eagles making a deal that nobody thought would go anywhere. And it lands Cody Parkey here. Bowl kicker to date.
I would say so. Just the one missed kick. He has been nails. And he has been a huge pickup for this Eagles special team.
Well, we've got a top list, a top five list for you. It's the all-time best Eagles trades.
The object of a trade is to not only get your team to a better place than they were before, but not to lose anything with the players or picks that you gave away. Just like a draft, it can take years to realize the winners and losers. And that's why this week's top five is the top five trades in Eagles history. Coming in at number five, a left tackle who went from undrafted to all-pro, Jason Peters.
They fleeced the Buffalo Bills. 28th overall pick in that 2009 draft. I believe a fourth rounder as well. A conditional 2010 pick as well. Come on, Jason Peters. Is there a better offensive lineman in the game right now? Jason Peters, as far as I'm concerned, when you watch a Monday night football game or a Sunday night football game and you're watching it in detail and you're listening to Chris Collinsworth call a game, you'll hear Jason Peters' name called a lot, and it's not because of penalties.
Coming in at number four, a linebacker who helped change the culture of the team, Bill Berge.
I mean, Bill Berge comes over here in a time when it was pretty dark, and Bill Berge helps usher in the Dick Vermeil era. But Bill Berge was an absolute tackling machine. Bill Berge was an edge guy. Bill Berge had a lot of those traits that you need in your middle linebacker. Smart, leader, tough, and that team really fed off him. You talk to the guys from the 1980 defense, and they'll tell you there's no question who our leader was. It was Bill Berge.
Coming in at number three, a quarterback who was known for his resilience and toughness. Ron Jaworski.
He's kind of languishing in L.A., and the Eagles make a great move to get him over here. And what he did was he sort of brought that team. He was the coach on the field for Dick Vermeil, and he took a lot of heat in the process. He took a lot of heat from the press and from the fans, but Jaworski was tough. And you talk about an arm, there's a reason they called him the Polish Rifle. He had a cannon.
Ron Jaworski is a guy from Youngstown, Ohio. And so when the Eagles made the trade, I remember being a young kid that it wasn't one of those real heralded, wow, we got Ron Jaworski from the Rams. But Ron Jaworski came in here and was a tough guy and went out there and played hard, and the fans fell in love with him.
I loved Jaws. I loved watching Jaws. And to my left was my father, who was a manic Philadelphia Eagles fan, and he would yell at the screen at Ron Jaworski. And I would always stick up for Jaws, no matter what. I always knew Jaws' stats and his numbers and why he should play and why he shouldn't be benched. I can't see Jaws as a guy that played for any other team.
For them to land him in a trade, and ultimately, you know, who is the other guy in that trade? Nobody even knows. You know who Ron Jaworski is, that's for sure.
Coming in at number two, another quarterback who led the team to the 1960 championship, Norm Van Brocklin.
Van Brocklin had played a long time in Los Angeles. He was a veteran. And he'd been part of two championship teams out there, and was considered one of the best quarterbacks in football. Everybody knew that. But he had always split the job. I mean, it seems crazy in today's NFL you'd never have this, where you'd have a great quarterback sharing time with other quarterbacks, but that he did in Los Angeles. So he told the coach, just trade me, okay? But don't trade me to Pittsburgh or Philadelphia. Those are the only two places I'm not going. Well, he traded him to Philadelphia. And he actually threatened to retire. He actually threatened to retire rather than report to Philadelphia, because the Eagles were a bad team at that time. And Bert Bell, who was then the commissioner of the NFL, who was the original owner of the Eagles, convinced Van Brocklin, no, come to Philadelphia, it'll be okay. They got a good coach in Buck Shaw. You can come there and help build this team back into a winner. And the 1960 team would not have won a championship if it weren't for Norm Van Brocklin.
And taking the top spot this week, a wide receiver whose stay in Philadelphia was short but entertaining, Terrell Owens.
First and foremost, Terrell Owens. You know, the fact that you were able to get him in a trade for basically nothing, and then you go on that whirlwind of a 2004 season, absolutely phenomenal, phenomenal trade.
And I'll never forget reporting on that story. I was in Florida at the time, and I was doing a hit at spring training, and then the trade happened. To me, I think it represented that they see that they're close, and this is the move that's going to kind of get them over the top.
You know, he was Megatron for that year. When you look at the wide receivers in the NFL, he was the best receiver in the NFL that year. When T.O. was on the field, you just threw it like Megatron. You just threw it, and he caught it. And when he went down, and we lost those games, and yet he came back, I mean, to me, he's always golden. Even though all you ever heard about was that he was a head case, I don't know. I mean, he loved to win for the Eagles.
So there you have it, your top five trades of all time. Let us know what you think on Twitter using @EagleShows, #EaglesTop5.
And you can watch our top five series on Inside the Eagles. It airs in Philadelphia on 6ABC and also, of course, on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Surprised not to see the classic Jerome Harrison for Mike Bell trade on the list.
Well, Jorick Calvin and Charles Scott also on that list.
Some great ones.
But there is a great trade and a great story with the Eagles. Cody Parkey, a rookie place kicker who I'm not sure five Eagles fans could have named him prior to August. Well, he's been a staple with this football team. And as Bo says, he's been nails on the field. Cody Parkey, when we return, is the subject of our crunch time here on Eagles 360.
All season long, stop into your local Acme markets and purchase the Eagles item of the week. When you do, you will receive a receipt code making you eligible for the Swoop In and Win sweepstakes. Just go to swoopinandwin.com and enter the code today. It's your chance to win Eagles tickets, Eagles Pro Shop and Acme gift cards, and Eagles autographed merchandise. Acme Markets.
An Eagles fan!
When the Eagles win, you win.
Score a free Dunkin' Donuts medium hot or iced coffee the day after an Eagles win with the Dunkin' mobile app.
Eagles win, you win.
America runs on Dunkin'.
Dunkin' Donuts is helping more area youth get in the game through the Touchdowns for Kids program. For every Philadelphia Eagles touchdown, Dunkin' Donuts will donate $250 to Good Sports, bringing new equipment and resources to youth sports organizations in need throughout the greater Philadelphia region.
Now, Eagles fans, Bob's Discount Furniture and the Philadelphia Eagles are giving you the chance to win 11 tickets to watch the Eagles take on Dallas. Visit mybobs.com/Eagles lineup to enter now. Contest ends December 1st, 2014. We welcome you back, Eagles 360. Time now to throw it over to the Fan Cave. It's our Eagles Crunch Time segment. Chris McPherson with place kicker Cody Parkey.
Hello, Eagles fans. I'm Chris McPherson, and welcome to this week's Lay's Kettle Cook Presents Crunch Time. My special guest this week is rookie kicker Cody Parkey. And Cody, was it true that after your first trade to Philadelphia, that you were living out of a suitcase for the first couple weeks?
Yeah, so I was here for a couple weeks. They had me in a hotel, and then they told me, you know, at a certain point, they were going to stop paying for the hotel, and I had to make some moves. Luckily, I have some cousins here. They let me crash up in their, upstairs area in downtown Philly for a couple days, and then I was able to land on my feet pretty quick.
So what's your situation now? You have are you all settled? No suitcase?
I got a place, no suitcase anymore. I have my stuff nice and folded. A lot of the time it's on the floor because I'm kind of lazy, but hey, it's all right. I'm living pretty good.
What was your mental approach after getting traded from Indy to Philly and knowing that you had to come in and compete for a job instantaneously? How were you able to bounce back?
so quickly?
You know, I'm at a position where, you know, I'm not a quarterback. I don't need to learn a lot of plays or anything, you know. So I just have to – I have one job, and that's to make kicks. And the hardest part was getting a rhythm down with John and Donnie. You know, they go a little faster than I did in Indianapolis. But once I got used to that after a couple days, you know, I was ready to roll for that first preseason game, and we really got after it.
So you have two veteran guys in John Dorbos and Donnie Jones. What's it like working with those guys? Because they're some class clowns,
yeah.
to put it lightly.
Yeah, John the Magic Man and, you know, Donnie Longball, those are awesome guys, and they really brought me in, you know, right away. They give me advice every day and, you know, what they would do better in their careers. Stuff like that, how to approach every day, and you know, they're pros, and you know, I try to learn from them every day, and it's awesome working with them.
How sweet was it? Indianapolis, week two, game is on the line, and you nail the kick as if you had no pressure on you whatsoever.
Yeah, it was pretty neat, you know, kind of making the kick versus a team that, you know, didn't really want me to stick around for obvious reasons. They have Adam Vinatieri, but it was awesome hitting it against them. And Greg, our equipment manager, was telling me all week, you're going to hit a game winner, man. And I was like, you know, all right, cool. And sure enough.
So he was like, nothing, though. It's like, no big deal. You're like, okay.
So now I ask him every week. I'm like, you know, what's going on, man? You know, you seem to be the guy to know. So, yeah, it was pretty neat.
That was real crunch time right there.
It was.
At least. In terms of coming to Philadelphia, how much are you enjoying the city? How have you acclimated to it? I mean, how has that transition been? Because it's not like you had a time to relax and get used to the city. You got just thrown right into the mix. So what's it been like being in Philly?
Yeah, so I didn't have the whole OTAs experience that most rookies do to kind of get used to everything like I was used to in Indianapolis. So really, you know, I've just been, you know, hanging low and just really focusing on football, trying to get my sports science down, getting my 8 hours of sleep a night. And, you know, I love the city so far. You know, I've been out a few times, and, you know, when my family comes, we'll go look at some restaurants and just kind of explore the city, and it's an awesome feel.
So there's Love Park in Philly. You've been kind of given the nickname Love Parky. You like it? You embrace it? What are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think it's pretty cool when they came up with that for me. It's pretty neat. You know, people hashtag me on Twitter all the time with that, so it's pretty cool. You know, no complaints. It's Love Park, Love Parky. Nothing not to love.
Eagles are in first place. You came from Auburn, where you won a national championship, and you got to be in another national championship game. Do you see any similarities between the teams you play with at Auburn and the team here in Philadelphia?
Yeah, you know, we played some tough competition, obviously, in the SEC, so I think that kind of gauged me for what to prepare in the NFL. You know, competition every week, you know, we could be lights out, or, you know, if you slip just a little bit, then, you know, a team could take advantage of you. So you got to bring your A game every week, and it's definitely something, you know, learning from my college days, and you got to be ready to go every week, just 100%. I don't care, you know, in college you play Alabama or if you're playing Sanford, or it doesn't matter, just be ready to go and help your team win.
So you're a golf aficionado off the field.
Yeah, love playing golf.
Is it true that you really got a hole in one, or is that just something you posted on Twitter to be like?
No, it's actually true. My dad had an early tee time. Yeah. And I didn't want to wake up, and he was like, come on, let's go. So I went with him and my brother, and, you know, second hole, first hole I didn't play good, and I was like, oh, it's going to be a rough day. Second hole, par three, a little windy, played it a little left, and one bounce, and then dunked right in the hole, and that turned my game around real quick. I was pretty pumped after that, so I had to get a picture, and, you know, half my buddies didn't believe me, but my brother and my dad were there, so that's living proof.
So I was wondering if you may have ran down there, you know, everyone's looking for the ball, and you're like, just kick it in real quick there, so it'd be like it's in there.
No, it was official. It was my first one, and I guess not many people do that, so it's pretty neat.
So what did you have to do to kind of take care of everyone after that?
I didn't do much. I looked at the golf ball. My dad wanted me to get a frame and all that cool stuff, but I think it's still in my bag back in Florida, so next time I need a hole-in-one, I'll have to bring it out.
So you might play with it by accident. You don't even realize
Yeah,
it,
so. Exactly.
There's Cody Parkey, kicker for the Philadelphia Eagles, our special guest on this week's edition of Lace Kellcook Presents Crunch Time. Thank you very much for joining us here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Lay's Kettle Cooked Jalapeno Potato Chips are kettle cooked in small batches and are combined with the fiery wallop of real jalapenos to give you that extra crunch and mouth-watering flavor.
Well, thank you very much, Chris. Thank you very much, Cody. Eagles defense understands that it's got quite a responsibility on Sunday. A better than I think people expect Tennessee offense coming into town.
And an emerging offense because they have those two rookies at quarterback and running back, Zach Mettenberger and Bishop Sankey. This is a team that does some things very well, including in the red zone. Our friends from Eagles Game Plan will check that out on the other side right here on Eagles 360.
NovaCare Rehabilitation is the exclusive provider of physical therapy to the Philadelphia Eagles. With 90 locations in the Delaware Valley, NovaCare maximizes the physical well-being in patients of all ages and abilities. Our team of medical professionals puts you back in your game after surgery or injury. The Eagles choose NovaCare, so can you. Call 1-800-770-NOVA. NovaCare, the power of physical therapy.
The tournament is there. You're here. And before you take the team's star midfielder from here to there, along with his entourage, you have some things to do, like finding a place to stay, getting an oil change, mapping out the best route. Yes. Are we there yet? No. Roadside assistance? Not today, but always on call. So wherever your journey takes you, AAA helps you get there. So everyone's a winner. Start your journey at AAA.com.
Sports Authority is proud to be the official sporting goods retailer of the Philadelphia Eagles. Sports Authority, all things sporting good. It's Eagles 360. Dave Spadaro, Bo Wolf, our final segment of the day. We're with you, of course, every day at 5 o'clock Monday through Friday, and we'll have you covered on PhiladelphiaEagles.com throughout the day on Sunday as the Eagles defense tries to shut down this Tennessee Titans offense.
That's right, and we talked about their red zone offense before. Let's find out from Mike and Ike, Quick and Reese, what they do well, the Tennessee Titans.
All right, Mike, let's take a look at Tennessee down here in the red zone. Like a lot of teams, Tennessee also loves to use the 3-by-1 set, trying to look for mismatches.
Well, they can also create a lot of confusion in a 3-by-1 set. You got to figure out, am I going to zone it or am I going to man it? But when these receivers disperse, it's always difficult to figure out your responsibilities and your matchups.
Yeah, you're going to see them here. This is one of their favorite routes, the snag route. At the snap of the ball, you know, this route is covered on the outside because the corner is there for the 7 route. The tight end in the flat, he's covered. The snag route here is covered. But Mettenberger trusts his tight end.
Yeah.
Chase Kaufman here and puts the ball up. Tight end does a nice job of going up to get it.
He's a big, tall quarterback, Mettenberger is, and he sees the field very well. This is, again, this excellent decision-making by the quarterback, getting the ball to the right player in the matchups.
And it's all about the matchups. Again, you're going to see him here, 3-by-1 set. All this on the front side, on the 3-receiver side, really is to cause confusion, get the defense to shift over there.
Yep.
But I think they're looking for the mismatch down here with the tight end, Delanie Walker, against the safety.
Yeah, it's, again, a real good matchup. And watch how, in this high-low set, watch the halfback out of the backfield, how he affects that inside defender and really opens that window for Mettenberger to get the ball to Delanie Walker, the tight end.
Yeah. You got the running back coming underneath. The linebacker's going to commit to there. That's going to give the quarterback time to see Tennessee's tight end here wide open. Nice catch there. You know, this is really a good offensive concept when you're down there in the red zone. Going to be tough for the defense to sort of shift through all the commotion and pick out their man-to-man coverages.
He pulls that inside defender, and that's really what opens up the throw for Mettenberger.
You're going to see him here again. They create 3-by-1. This time they do it for motion. Now, defense have seen the 3 routes that they like running here, a snag route, and then the backside corner route with the tight end. This time you're going to get a double slant
right
with the tight end going into the flat. And the motion, I believe, is what creates the advantage.
Well, on the man-to-man coverage, you see it's a natural pick. When you got those 2 slants going to the inside and that defender trailing the motion, it's a natural pick, and you get him out in the flat, and there's nobody there because the inside defenders, they're taking the slant routes.
Yeah, they've been knocked off by the routes that are coming in. Again, a nice concept from Tennessee down here in the red zone. For the Eagles to do a good job of defending this, they're going to have to be sharp with their pre-snap responsibilities.
One of the favorite features of the week now, Amoroso's on the menu, tailgating synonymous with football. And today, linebacker Michael Kendricks with Lincoln Financial Field Executive Chef James Hennessy. Let's talk tailgate.
Hi, I'm Mike Kendricks with your Philadelphia Eagles. Today we have James. James, let these people know where you're from and what kind of sandwich you have here.
How you doing? I'm the executive chef at Lincoln Financial Field. And right now we have the Mike Quick sandwich. And it is a 18-hour slow pulled pork sandwich with black cherry wood. And it comes with a Kansas City-style barbecue sauce, house-made slaw, on an Amoroso's potato roll.
Now, if you guys heard correctly, This sandwich is named after Mike Quick. And it doesn't get much better than this, but it starts with an Amorosa's roll.
Do you have a favorite tailgate sandwich? Enter your photo at the Amorosa Sandwich Selfie Sweepstakes for a chance to win an invitation to lunch with me at the Eagles facility. Visit PhiladelphiaEagles.com/sandwichselfie.
Well, thank you very much for that. Now we've got our last thoughts here, Bo, on the Eagles and the Titans on Sunday.
Yeah, I'm looking at the running game because the Titans, of course, were a little bit embarrassed by the Steelers being able to run the ball down their throat in the fourth quarter on Monday night. The Titans do have the dead last ranking in run defense, according to Football Outsiders. I'm looking forward to, hopefully, this Eagles offensive line, LeSean McCoy, getting things going.
Yeah, I think the Eagles' biggest challenge offensively will be handling that Tennessee blitz. Tennessee bringing it to the Pittsburgh Steelers, nearly registering the upset on Monday night. So,
and you never know where it's coming, Dave. They have 15 different players with sacks. Yeah. That's the most in the league.
You keep telling us that. Thank you very much for telling us. Again, Eagles must control the football. Put away the Tennessee Titans early, and let's get ready for the Dallas Cowboys. Eagles, Titans, it's Sunday at 1 o'clock, Lincoln Financial Field. Full coverage on PhiladelphiaEagles.com, beginning at 12:30 with a kickoff show. For Bo, I'm Dave. Thanks for joining us, everyone. Have yourselves a great Eagles Day.